Today is the third Sunday of Lent. The epistle for today is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, to ascend in a fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even be named among you as become saints, or obscenity or foolish talk or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Taken from Luke chapter 11. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke. And the crowds marveled. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils. And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house, which I left. And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee. But he said, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, this month of March is the month of Saint Joseph. Great Saint Joseph. The greatest saint, after, of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Joseph the Silent. It's interesting that in Scripture, we don't even have one word from him. We see him a few times in the early chapters of the Gospels. We see his virtues, his heroic virtues, but we have none of his words. Joseph the Silent, we might even say Joseph the Forgotten. You know, in the first centuries of the church, the apostles and the martyrs were glorified. And even today, when you go to Rome, of course, St. Peter's Basilica is the biggest church in the world. And you have these magnificent basilicas, you know, St. Paul's, St. Lawrence, and so, all of these churches. It wasn't until the 16th century that the first church was dedicated to St. Joseph. It wasn't until 1692 that his feast, March 19th, was extended to the universal church. and it wasn't until 1870 that Pius IX declared him the patron of the Universal Church. Why is he the greatest saint? Because, of course, of his dignity, of his closeness to God. The dignity of a person is always proportionate to the mission which God gives to him, which God asked of him. Saint Joseph was asked to be the foster father of God himself, to be the husband of the Mother of God, and to be the head of the Holy Family. The three greatest persons who ever walked the earth, the greatest family, and Saint Joseph was the head. Saint Joseph is so powerful. We have to realize how powerful he is. Because of his marriage to the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph has certain rights over our Lord. He exercised a certain paternal authority over the Godchild. And he continues, of course, to have this relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. He still is his foster father, this man who took care of him, who held him in his arms, who taught him, who worked with him. Without, of course, having begotten Jesus physically, Saint Joseph, by the bonds which unite him to Mary, he is legally and morally the father of the Son of Mary, of God himself. It's not just a nice title the church places on Saint Joseph. No, there's something very real there, a real relationship. And in the heavenly home, Saint Joseph, again, he still has this powerful influence over the heart of Christ. Just to give you an idea of this, I'd like to quote from St. Teresa of Avila. It seems that she was really the first saint who, in a sense, spread the devotion to St. Joseph. She lived in Spain in the 16th century, the great reformer of the Carmelites. And she had a very strong devotion to St. Joseph. This is what she says. To the other saints, it appears that the Lord may have granted power to help us on particular occasions, but to this saint, as experience proves, he has granted power to help us on all occasions. Our Lord would teach us that, as he was pleased to be subject to Joseph upon the earth, so he is now pleased to grant whatever this saint asks for in heaven. Others whom I have recommended to have recourse to Joseph have known this from experience. I never knew anyone who was particularly devout to him that did not continually advance more and more in virtue. For the love of God, let him who believes not this make his own trial. And I do not know how anyone can think of the Queen of Angels at the time when she labored so much in infancy and childhood of Jesus and not return thanks to Joseph for the assistance which he rendered both to the Mother and to the Son. Beautiful words from also one of the greatest saints, Saint Teresa of Avila. He is the patron of the universal church, and if we think about it, of course, it makes perfect sense. His mission was to take care of the physical body of Christ, the human nature of Christ, this physical life. It is his job now to take care of the mystical body of Christ. We have so many examples in Scripture of his virtues. If we just think about, well, from the very beginning, what God asked of him, it begins with this, what we call the Passion of St. Joseph, this tremendous suffering. He's betrothed to this beautiful and virtuous young lady. He knows that she's special. Well, he doesn't know how special yet. And he discovers that she's expecting. And it's not his son. And of course, he's in this turmoil for days. And he's thinking, you know, what can he do? On the one hand, he's a just man. On the one hand, he's convinced of Mary's virtue. So he doesn't want to be harsh and condemn her. But he also realizes that he can't just sweep this under the rug, so to speak. He has to discern God's will. And Our Lady doesn't say anything. She waits for God to intervene. And of course, eventually the angel Gabriel tells him to fear not. From this lesson, we learn that God will ask suffering, especially of those he loves, and even more suffering to those that he loves more. And there will be misunderstandings, there will be trials, there will be times of desolation. Also, we learn too, St. Joseph can teach us this, that often God intervenes at the last minute. God will try us, he will allow some trial. And we pray, we reflect, we try to know what God's will is. Then oftentimes if we experience at the last minute, God intervenes. It's often how God works. This patience and this trust, of course, glorifies God, as St. Joseph did. And so many more examples. You know, it's interesting, just that first year of marriage for St. Joseph and Mary, just all these trials. And these are the only ones that we know about. Certainly there were others. You know, right before she's about to give birth, they have to go on this journey to Bethlehem in this poverty, this loneliness, this exile into Egypt. You know, there's three times an angel comes to St. Joseph in his sleep. We might say that St. Joseph could be the patron saint also of insomniacs or of those who don't sleep very well. The angel never comes to him, you know, in the morning after he's had his coffee and ready to go. It's always in the middle of the night. And especially the second time, the angel, he doesn't come to him and say, you know, Joseph, you know, the Lord is with thee as well. Great St. Joseph. No, he says, he doesn't even call him by name. Second time, arise and take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt and stay there until I tell you. That's it. And we know that St. Joseph, what does the gospel say? And Joseph, rising up from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Each time he just gets up and he does what he's told. He doesn't understand. He has no idea what's going on. Why is he going to Egypt? Who is seeking the life of this son? His humility, his patience, his docility, his manliness. For you fathers and for you husbands, try to meditate on the manliness of St. Joseph. That tough silence, that patience. And also for you fathers and husbands, this is very consoling as well. Remember, St. Joseph was the head of the Holy Family. He had this authority. In fact, the angel tells him, the angel Gabriel says, you shall call his name Jesus. It was his job as the legal and the moral father of this child to name him. He was the head of the Holy Family, but he was the least competent to lead the Holy Family. It's interesting how God will sometimes ask us to be in some position of authority, and we have to accept, even if we realize, if we look around, there might be someone else who would be better at it. He was in charge of Jesus, who is God himself, and the Blessed Virgin Mary, she was subject to him, and she was much smarter than St. Joseph, much holier than St. Joseph, much wiser than St. Joseph. And yet, in all humility, he led them, and he had to tell them what to do, certainly relying on God's grace and his help. So many wonderful examples, if we only meditate and to reflect and to just, yes, those few words in Scripture, to know them and to love them and to try to see him through those pages. So dear friends, the Church is still in the greatest crisis in her history, but St. Joseph is the patron of the Universal Church. Yesterday we consecrated the Society of St. Pius to him once again. And on March 25th, as I'm sure you've heard, this coming Friday, There will be the consecration of Russia by the Holy Father and all the bishops. What a consolation after so many years. Over 100 years Our Lady has asked for this, and it seems that it will happen this Friday, this week, during this octave of St. Joseph, this month of St. Joseph. It's not a coincidence. Also, don't forget, on March 25th was also the death of Archbishop Lefebvre, this great bishop that God raised up to preserve the priesthood, to preserve the traditional Latin Mass. Without him, you wouldn't have this Latin Mass here. No one in the Denver area would have the Latin Mass if it wasn't for Archbishop Lefebvre. He died 21 years ago on March 25th. But what a consolation for us after so many years, you know, all this praying, you know, after every low Mass, as you will today, after each low Mass, those three Hail Marys, the Salve Regina, these prayers, St. Michael. Over 100 years ago, Benedict XV said, we're going to pray these prayers for the conversion of Russia. And all these decades and decades, after every low Mass, millions of Masses were praying for the conversion of Russia. Remember the Rosary Crusades that we've done. Some years ago, we had the Pilgrim Virgin statue. Remember, for 2 years, traveling around the United States, stopping at every single chapel of the Society of St. Pius X, whether it was St. Isidore or St. Mary's or little chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with 30 people. The statue was there for a whole week. Every single chapel, she was there from 2015 to 2017. All of those rosaries, all those rosary crusades. And we remember 1917, October 13th, that last apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. She tells us what she tells us about the eras of Russia. And just weeks later, in the first week of November, you have the Russian Revolution in Moscow. Russia will spread its errors. And certainly we're still seeing the communism spreading all over the world. But remember, St. Joseph was also included in this message of Fatima. On August 19th, Sunday, August 19th, 1917, this is what Our Lady said to the children, especially to Lucy. She says, I want you to continue going to the Kova on the 13th, that you continue praying the rosary every day. On the last month, I will perform a miracle so that all may believe. If they had not taken you to the town, the miracle would have been greater. St. Joseph will come with the child Jesus to give peace to the world. Our Lord will come to bless his people. Our Lady of the Rosary and Our Lady of Sorrows will come. And as Our Lady said, of course, on October 13th, St. Joseph, only the children saw this vision, but they saw him in the sky holding the child Jesus, blessing the world. So St. Joseph is still with us. He's still watching over us, watching over the church. And so we go to him with a great confidence today. And we ask him, we thank him, we thank the Blessed Virgin Mary for this consecration if it takes place on Friday. And for us, dear faithful, we continue persevering in this crisis. And we continue that message of Fatima, which is really the message of St. Joseph. And that is these words which our Lord spoke to Sister Lucy about 20 years after these apparitions. Our Lord told her, the sacrifice required of every person is the fulfillment of his duties in life and the observance of my law. This is the penance that I now seek and require. God does not ask much of us. And we look to St. Joseph for that desire to fulfill our duties of state in the observance of all of God's laws. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.